Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you go to Galatians chapter 3. Some of you, this is your first time hearing about the best place to be. So I'm going to do just a little bit of review, and I want to wet your whistle just like I did last week. You know, the best place to be is a place that is accessible to all. It is where you can go and encourage others to go to. It's a place that benefits those who are there. It's a place that you can go to anytime, and it's available every day. It's a place that refreshes your soul, casts out your fears. It invigorates you with new life. It encourages you to become, it encourages you, inspires you, and strengthens you. It's a place of rest, a source of joy, and a safe place. It's a peaceful and fun place. The best place to be is in Christ. Amen? And Christ is a person, he's a place, and it's a position that Christ held. And you can be there. Amen? When you're in Christ, you have access to all of God's goodness. And God has given the world an invitation to come to Christ. There's an invitation out there. And everyone who answers that invitation, you can be in Christ. In Galatians 3:29, it says this. And if you be Christ, well, how do you be Christ? You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You have to invite him into your heart. If you've invited Christ into your heart, then you are Christ. You belong to him. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All right? So being in Christ is the best place to be. He's the key to your inheritance. Christ is the key to your power. For it's the gospel of Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. All right? So if you want to operate in power, get to know Christ. Christ is the anointed one. And it is the anointing of God. It's the anointing is the manifestation of his power. It breaks yokes and destroys burdens. All right? Or it removes burdens and destroys yokes. That's what the anointing does. So Christ is the key to your reconciliation and change. God was in the world reconciling the world to himself in Christ. All right? And Christ is the key to our righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not going to be, not will be, we are. If you're in Christ, then you are righteous. That's a good thought, isn't it? Christ is the key to our eternal life. That's what God gave the world through Christ. Christ is the key to living for God and reckoning your soul dead to sin. Christ is the key to bearing fruit. Do you want to bear fruit in your life? You're going to have to do it with Christ. You're going to have to abide in him. Remain in him. Man, get into a fixed position in him. Christ is the key to your being free from condemnation. You know, when a building is condemned, it ceases to be good for the purpose it was created. It can't house people anymore. And it's condemned. It means it's falling down. It's apart. But we are free from condemnation because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Christ is the key to family membership, to be in God's family and to be in his kingdom. Christ is the key to conquering enemies, challenges, or obstacles that are in your way. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ, you have his power, his strength that's operating in you. Okay? Christ is the key to overcoming legalism. The letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. Jesus' words, Christ's words, were spirit and life. Everything he said produced life. Christ is the key to overcoming victoriously the lusts of the flesh. Go with me to Romans 13. Romans 13 and 14. I want you to see this here. But he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that word lust, that just simply means desires. How many know your flesh has some desires? And if you give in to the desires of your flesh is never satisfied. It always wants more than what it has. And that's why sin is such a trap. Because when people get involved in sin, they never got involved to get trapped. They got involved because it made it feel good, or it felt good, or whatever. It touched the flesh in some way. But then, you didn't know it, but eventually, because your flesh wants more and more, it gets you trapped, doesn't it? We've all been there. Prior to Christ, we were all entrapped, weren't we? We were ensnared by the devil. The devil was ruling our life. He was working in our life. But when we came to Christ, we broke his influence. And the devil has no hold on you anymore. So he's telling us to put on Christ. Did you come with Christ tonight? You know, how do you put on Christ? You believe what he said about you. You accept that what he said about you is the absolute truth and it can't go any other way. When you hear thoughts that tell you you're no good, you say, I don't think so. I am the apple of his eye. I am a child of God. See, and you got to fight those thoughts that try to contradict God's word. You can't just let them roll around in your head. Because the more you think on it, the more you become it. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you got to put on Christ. All right, you got to make some choices to resemble Christ in your attitude and in your actions. How many know, you know, Christ came, you know, Christ lived a perfect life for 3.5 years. For 33 and a half years. For 33 and a half years while he walked this earth, he committed no sin. He was tempted. You know, the devil tried to do his best to get him tempted, but every time the devil tempted him, he would say, it is written. And it is also written. And the devil couldn't hang around. You know, when you're full of the word, the devil doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Because he'll lose every time. Okay? So you want to overcome the lust of the flesh, you got to do it through Christ. You got to crucify yourself sometimes. Paul said he was crucified with Christ. Why? What does that mean? It means that when you crucify yourself in Christ, you're putting aside your flesh and you're letting the Spirit rule and reign. You just, crucifying the flesh means denying it, saying no to it, not letting it have its way. We got to treat our flesh like a little child. And the life that you now live, you've got to live by faith in the Son of God. You got to live from your spirit. You got to work inside out. All right? Go to Romans 14 and verse 7. Romans 14, 7. For none of us live to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. It says, for I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now you walk not charitably or in love, destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man. So Christ is the key to your being accepted and approved by God. Did you know that when you're in Christ Jesus, God accepts you? He accepts you as righteous. He accepts you as his child. He accepts you as holy. He accepts you as blessed because you're accepted in Christ. I mean, did God ever reject Christ? You know, even when the only time Christ turned his back, or God turned his back on Christ, is when he was on the cross and he became sin. He took on the sin of the whole world and God turned his back. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only moment. But that was because he was fulfilling the law. But when that was done, he also said, it is finished. And you know what that meant? Everything for the law was fulfilled when he said, it is finished. But Christ is the key to being accepted by God. You're not accepted by your works. You're accepted by your faith in Christ Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that no man can boast. But Christ is the key to your acceptance. You want to be accepted? Come in Christ. Once you're in Christ, you got to serve him and live for him faithfully. Let Christ change you. Man, I'm a different person than I was out of Christ. Now that I'm in Christ, I'm a different person. I'm a new creature. All right? Go to Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When you accepted Christ, did he receive you? Yeah, he welcomed you. Matter of fact, he took his bags and he moved into your heart. When you called upon Christ, he became a permanent resident on the inside of you. And see, I'll never forget the day that I got born again. I felt Christ move in. He came like this. Whoom. And when he did that, I felt something just go, whoom. And I felt like it was on the inside of me. And all of a sudden, my hands began to shake. And I ended up on the floor, and I was laughing and crying at the same time. Yeah, I knew that there was a God, but that day and that moment, I didn't just know about him. I knew him. He moved on the inside of me. So, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to you among the Gentiles and will sing unto your name. So Christ is the key to receiving people. Christ enables you to help people and to support people and to support those who serve Christ. It is a mutually beneficial relationship. How many know that Christ is in the people business? And you being a people, Christ loves you. You are the apple of his eye. And you want to know how to deal with people? Know how Christ dealt with people. I mean, Christ had some crazy people helping him. James and John, mother, came to Christ and said, I want my boys to sit at your side. He said, well, could they drink the cup? I mean, they were called sons of thunder for a reason. They were the ones who wanted to call fire down on people. I mean, some of Christ's disciples didn't even believe in him until they felt his wounds. What am I saying? You want to know how to treat people? Look at how Christ treated people. Look at how he treated the woman at the well. He never condemned her for her lifestyle. He never brought about her past. He ministered to her. He ministered life to her. Christ's goal in every relationship is to get them out of darkness and into light. And we got to know how to treat people like Christ treated people. Because being in Christ is the best place that you can be. It's the key to everything that God wants us to have, everything that God wants us to walk in, everything that God promised us is in Christ Jesus. Christ is the total package. He stuffed all of, God stuffed all of his goodness into Christ, and Christ gives it to us when we believe in him. Christ is the confirmation that what God said is true and what he said belongs to us. Christ, God confirms his promises to us in Christ Jesus. All of his promises are yes and amen in him. Hallelujah. Go to Romans verse 29 in chapter 15. Verse 29, Romans 15. He said, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Christ is the key to the fullness of God. He represents all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything. Do you realize that God put in Christ the ability to judge everybody at the end? Everything, all of God's best is in Christ Jesus. He's the key to the fullness of the blessing. I'm sure that. Notice the assurance with what he's talking about. Notice the certainty. He says, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them who do not believe in Judea. How many know we got to be delivered from people who don't believe? Because people who don't believe in Christ, they're not always friendly to the gospel. And we can be delivered from them. Go to Romans 16 and go down to verse 18. I like this. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he talked about verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. God is against those who bring division or offense. Because they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Christ is the key to having God's grace and presence and crushing Satan under your feet. I don't know about you, but you get excited when Satan is crushed under your feet? Well, that comes about when we are in Christ Jesus, when we develop our relationship with Christ. He's the key to it all, all right? He's the key to having God's grace. God's grace is his ability, his favor, his goodness, his power, his strength. You know, Paul often said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he's the key to God's presence. Christ is the door to his presence. You can't get into God's presence any other way but going through Christ. Why? Because he's the one that paid the price. And did you know that not serving Christ deceives the heart of the simple? Serving the flesh is deceptive, and it caters to your own desires. And you see that through smooth words and flattering speech. We can either serve God or we can either serve ourselves. But when we're serving ourselves, we're ultimately serving the devil. What did Jesus say? I did not come to be served, but to serve, didn't he? How did he show that? He put a towel around his waist and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And I like when he got to Peter. Peter was taking the holy road. Lord, you don't do this to me. I should be doing this to you. But he told Peter, he said, Peter, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part in my kingdom. Then I like Peter's response. He said, then give me a bath, Lord. Pour it on me. But do you see, Christ came to serve. And he wants each one of us to serve. He wants each one of us to esteem the other better than himself. That's what we do when we represent Christ. We're here to represent Christ to the world. We haven't gotten there yet, but we are ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador goes to a foreign country, but it lives on the standard of the country that he came from. But he's serving in a foreign country. The ambassador can negotiate treaties and different things like that. The ambassador can enter into contracts that would benefit the nation that the ambassador represents. Now think about this. We are ambassadors of Christ. You ever thought of yourself as Christ's ambassador? Who are you? I'm an ambassador for Christ. How can I help you? Well, sometimes we don't think of ourselves like that. Probably because of a guilt or shame consciousness. You know, if you're conscious about your sin and your mistakes, it's going to cause you to lose confidence in God. And you got to transfer that stuff to Christ, and you got to trust Christ. You're in it because of what Christ has done, not because of what we have done. Go to verses 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Anybody need to be established? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Christ is the key, and his message is the key to you being established. He's the foundation on which to build. He wants to establish you in his word. Why? Because storms are going to come. Tests are going to come. Tribulations. What did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he smiled real big. And he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So if you want to overcome your temptation, trials, and tests that you're going to have in the world, you got to know how Christ did it. Christ will help you overcome just like he overcame. But he's the key to us being established, steadfast, firm. See, when you're established, the storm's going to come, but the storm's not going to wipe you out. That's what it means to be established. Yeah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 and 3. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the key to your sanctification, your cleansing, and your setting apart. To them that are sanctified in Christ. You've been sanctified? How does God sanctify you? He washes you with the water of the Word. He said, I sanctify you with my truth. My word is truth. All God has to do is to speak his word over you, and that word has the ability to sanctify you or to cleanse you or to set you apart. You can be made right even after having made a mistake with one word from God. All it takes is one word to rescue you, to deliver you, to set you free from bondage. And this is why Christ is the best place to be. Christ is accessible to anyone who will come to him. He said, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can come to him. He's our sanctifier. He's the source of grace and peace that God gives us. He's really the spot where the glory comes out. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. All that who, you know what, if you want to glory in something, glory in the Lord. Glory in Christ. Just be a mirror. When someone praises you, you praise God. You direct all praise to God. Amen? When people walk out of the building, they say, oh, that was a good sermon. And I say, well, God knows how to do it. I'm endeavoring to give all glory to God. And you got to be careful because your flesh will want to take the glory. Your flesh will want to take the credit. Look what I did. No, I mean, yeah, you're doing it, but God's doing it through you. But you give glory to God ultimately. Glory in the Lord. Go to chapter 2 and verse 16. I know we may just finish up on this one. The best place to be is to be in Christ Jesus. Because Ephesians 1:3 says, for he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That tells me that that's a place. It's a place where you get blessings. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Have you ever wondered what's on his mind? That he may instruct him. But notice, what's the last sentence? We have the mind of Christ. I want you to say that real bold. I want you to say it like you own it. All right? You ready? I have the mind of Christ. Woo! Well, what is the mind of Christ? Well, it's actually the Holy Spirit. Because he's talking about who knows the heart of a man except the spirit of man. He's talking about the Spirit of God. And in Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And wasn't Christ anointed with the Holy Spirit? So the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. And we have the mind of Christ because we can have access to the Holy Spirit because God gave us his Spirit. I get really excited about this one. Go to John 16. John 16, we're in this vein for just a moment about the mind of Christ. The Bible said, scriptures said that you have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible said. Now, it's about time that we start living like we have the mind of Christ. Uh-oh. You mean I actually got to have practical use of it? Yes. God didn't give you the mind of Christ to do junk or to do nothing. He gave you the mind of Christ to serve people and to serve his kingdom. All right? John 16. And look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide who? You. This scripture is talking about you. Because why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So in other words, all that the Father has is Christ's, is Jesus's, right? And so through the Holy Spirit, the Father takes what he's given to Jesus, and Jesus then imparts it to you via the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Holy Spirit network, you will never experience a drop call. You will never experience a dead zone. But the Holy Spirit network is the most accurate, the most clear communication network that we have available to us. It's how God directly communicates to us. It's how God brings us into all truth. It's the mind of Christ. He's going to show you what's Christ. He's going to take what's Christ, and he's going to show it to you through revelation knowledge. Why is he going to show it to you? Because he wants you to use what he shows you. He wants you to do what he shows you. He wants you to take what he shows you and to put it into practice in this world. I did not know to come to Palmyra and be part of this church on my own. But through a series of events, well, I don't want to call them events, I want to call them acts of obedience. I heard a voice on the inside of me that said, do this. So I went ahead and did this. And I did it with all my heart. And as I did this, I got to do this. In doing that and in doing this, I also got to do this. But through those acts of obedience, the Holy Spirit was leading me ultimately to here. And if I hadn't done the acts of obedience, I would have missed his will completely. These were little things that God asked me to do. So I did them. And as I did them, he'd show me another thing. And as I did that, he'd show me another thing. Eventually, it got to where he ultimately wanted me to be, which was here. Through my acts of obedience, I heard of this opportunity. When I heard the opportunity, I mean, you know this is God because I acted so quick it made my head spin. The moment I heard of the opportunity, I came home that night and I shared it with Fiona. And then we began to do what was necessary, what was required of the opportunity for us to be here. But see, the Holy Spirit was taking what was Christ and he was giving it unto me so that I could do it. And that's what he wants everyone to do. How are you going to know God's will unless you can hear his voice? It's so important to know and to do God's will. And you can in Christ Jesus. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, the mind of Christ enables you to think like God. Well, Pastor, what it says, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Yeah, but you can get on the elevator of Christ and you can come up. Yeah, his thoughts may be higher than our thoughts, but he welcomes us to come up. He brings us higher. He came down to where we were so that we could be where he is. Did you know that you could be spiritually minded or you could be carnally minded? What kind of mind do you have? Does your mind always gravitate to fleshly things, or does it go for spiritual things? It all depends. I mean, the carnal mind is going to give you death, but the spiritual mind is going to give you life and peace. Which would you rather have, death or life and peace? Amen. Okay, Ephesians 3:3-4. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Did you know that it was not known to man that God was going to have a Gentile family as well as a natural family in the Hebrew people? And it was revealed to Paul by the Spirit. You know, he tells his story. He was caught up to the third heaven. And while he was in the third heaven, in the presence of God, he heard mysteries. He heard unspeakable things. He received revelation. But how did that come to Paul? It came by the Holy Spirit. So the same way that Paul got revelation to help us is the same way that you're going to be able to help other people. It's the same way that you're going to be able to do what God's called you to do. Amen? Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. I know you ought to get really excited about that. Think about that for a moment. You have the mind of Christ. I didn't say that. Scripture said that. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is saying that? Because the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to write it, and the Holy Spirit recorded it. So he wanted us to know it. Do you realize how many people don't have the mind of Christ? The Pharisees didn't have the mind of Christ, because Jesus plainly told most of them that they were of their father, the devil. You can't have the mind of Christ being the son of a devil. The devil doesn't think like God. The devil's perverted and twisted and wicked. His goal only is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's goal is to bring abundant life. Every one of us have a task and an assignment for God. And God will show you through the Holy Spirit how to carry that out, what to do with it. The word that was spoken tonight, that was originated from the Holy Spirit. Why does he gives his gifts so that the body can be edified? Every word that God speaks through the gift of tongues and interpretation, it encourages, it edifies. It never tears down. It always builds up. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Is it okay just to stay in this vein until we're almost done here? This is called the mind of Christ mine. And we're digging some rich treasures out of here. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel. That word conversation means your lifestyle. It's not necessarily talking about how you talk, but it's how you live. Let your lifestyle be as it becomes the gospel. The gospel is the message of Christ, so your lifestyle has to reflect Christ. Okay? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the truth of the gospel. This is what we all have to do. We all have to strive together for the truth of the gospel. We have all been commissioned by God, and in some way, shape, or form, we have been drafted by God to be involved in the spreading of his gospel. And the beauty of the gospel is God has so many ways that he can get it out. He can get it out through music, through preaching, through painting, through dance, through all kinds of things. God's not limited to the ways that the gospel gets out. But he said, we gotta, with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the truth of the gospel. And then finally, go to chapter 2, Philippians, two more places, and then I'm done. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded. What's he saying? He wants you to be like-minded like Jesus. He wants you to share his thoughts, share his attitude, share his life. See, the life that we now live, we're supposed to live through Christ. Christ is supposed to live through us. Christ can look out the windows of your heart. I heard a story one time. A guy walked into a shop, and the minute, you know, the shop owner greeted him. And as the person said hello, the shop owner dropped to his knees and began crying. And the guy didn't know what was happening. But the shop owner said, I saw Jesus in your eyes. Why? Well, the eyes are the window to your heart. And if Jesus lives in your house, and he can look out the window anytime he wants to. So it brings joy to God's heart for you to be like-minded like him. Having the same love. Being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or empty conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not to every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. How many know there were people in the Bible who resisted the Holy Spirit? There was a whole group of Israelites who resisted what God wanted to do in the wilderness. And because of their resistance, they multiplied their years of suffering. That was not God's will for them to walk 40 years in the wilderness. It was never God's intention, but it was their own doing of their resistance because they were hard-hearted. They rebelled. They were stiff-necked, the Bible talks about. You've got to let this mind. You've got to make a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. You've got to allow him to smooth off the rough places in our lives. You've got to allow him to build the empty places in your life. You've got to allow him to straighten out the crooked places of your life. You've got to allow him to get you off the high places, high representing pride. Let this mind be in you. It's not an automatic thing. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. And he talks about what Jesus did, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. If God can have our mind, why can't we have his? If God can become human, why can't we become God's? I'm not talking about Almighty, I'm talking about belonging to Christ. But it's what we allow in our lives. It's what we allow ourselves to be influenced by. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He's not saying actually cut off your hand. He's saying stop the source of where it's getting in. If something in your life is causing you to trip up, you got to deal with that thing. That thing needs to be dealt with. It might need to be getting rid of. If something is causing you to be weak in your faith, you got to get rid of it. And just quickly, go back to Romans 8 and I'm done. Romans 8. Verse 5. Here's where it really, the rubber meets the road. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know, people look to make their flesh comfortable. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, there's a choice. Where do you make your biggest investment? In the flesh or in the Spirit? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What do you think it cost Jesus to become human? What do you think he gave up? He gave up heaven for a brief period of time. He gave up a place where there was no darkness to experience darkness, a place where there he needed no sleep to have to he experienced weariness, hunger, thirst. He experienced abandonment. He gave up everything for us. So now we need to become spiritually minded. He goes on to say, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let the mind of Christ be in you. What's hindering us from letting the mind of Christ be in us? We got to get rid of that thing. We got to deal with that thing. God needs full access into everything. Verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Whoa. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you'll know it. And he will help you make the changes necessary to live the life that God wants you to live. Just some minor adjustments. So we got to let God's mind be in us. How many know the way you think affects the way you live? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You want to change your actions, you got to change the way you think about things. If you want to get to the palace, you can't have a poverty mentality. If you always view yourself as a pauper, or if you always view yourself as a victim, you're never going to win. You got to change your mindset. And what happens is, if you don't change an ungodly mindset, it becomes a stronghold. And it dominates your life. But it didn't start off as a stronghold. It started off as a thought. But the more you chose to dwell on that thought, it built, it strengthened itself. It became a fortitude or a fortress. But you know what? God made it possible for us that we could have the mind of Christ, that we could be so in tune with Christ through the Holy Spirit. God's speaking to people. He's always speaking to people. The question is whether or not he's speaking. The question is whether or not we're listening. Amen? God will speak to some people and say, I want you to praise me more. Well, then you have a choice. You can either sit there like a frog on a log or you can praise him more. Amen? Yeah. praise, it does the body good. So if praise does the body good, you want to do it. But, you know, what keeps us from praising God like we should? Our flesh. What are other people going to think? How are other people going to view me? It doesn't matter. You need to invest your praise into God. Amen? So why don't we do that right now? Why don't we make a good investment of praise into God right now? And if you find it hard to praise God, then you need to press in even more. You need to get beyond this veil. You need to get beyond this temporal. And you need to put your eyes on Jesus. You need to surrender to Him. Even if it feels uncomfortable, you need to press into God. God wants to give you more, but He wants more of you. Draw near unto God and He will draw near to you. If you make a move, He'll make a move. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. We bless your holy name.
The Spirit of the Sovereign God is upon us.
Come on, we need some young people like David with his electric harp. I want to see some young people on fire for God, who are hunger for God. They don't care. They're passionate about the things of God. They make a connection with the divine. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We magnify you. We bless your holy name.
Freedom to the captives.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Best way to unplug your mind is to pray in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, it bypasses your mind. And praying in tongues is the language of the mind of God. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, come up right now and God will fill you with fire. He'll baptize you with the fire of God.
The vengeance of our God.
Come on, we know about a fire, right? If we don't stoke a fire, that fire will go out. Hallelujah. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? You know it's a free gift.
Is upon us.
So if I was to say, Ron, I want to give you this phone, how would you take it? Who has it now? That's exactly what God does with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. So all you got to do is receive. You believe you receive. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you fill him with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John said, I baptize you with water, but there comes one who's mightier than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, Father, I thank you right now that he is immersed with the fire of God and the power of God in the name of Jesus. And you're going to feel an urge to speak words that you don't understand, but that's just the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, for a fresh anointing. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and with power in Jesus' name. Receives the Holy Spirit and fire in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you fill her till she overflows with your liquid lava of love in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit fall, Father, in Jesus' name, and let the fire flow. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Where the Spirit of the Lord
is. Thank you, Father, right now, as she is filled with
the
Holy Spirit.
There is freedom.
I want you to say, Lord, thank you for giving to me the Holy Spirit and your power.
You,
I receive it as mine.
Thirsty.
Work in my life in Jesus' name.
There
Amen.
Is freedom.
Some faith to do it because you're doing something
there
you don't understand.
There is freedom.
You're not supposed to understand. But the Bible says, when you pray,
that's
God
that will
be determined.
Everybody say, freedom reigns in this place.
Eternal life in the name of Jesus. Father, let that power of God come upon her in a greater way. Let her stand stronger. Let her speak more boldly. Let her step out by faith in greater ways. Father, let your divine strength and power come upon her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, let her be transformed like Clark Kent. In Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Lord, you perfect that which concerns her. And Lord, I declare right now that she lacks no good thing in Jesus' name. But Lord, you make up the difference in every area. Oh, Jesus is your portion. Hallelujah. He is your portion. You're his cupbearer. And he is your portion. And he anoints your head with oil. And your cup overflows. So prepare for an overflowing cup in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
There is freedom.
See, when you let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, you become bold. You become strengthened. You get radical. You do things that you never thought you could do. You step out into the unknown. Hallelujah. You get up and testify. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The best place to be is to be in Christ. You'll never go away empty by spending some time in Christ. You'll never go away doubting from the presence of God. You'll never go away sorrowful from God's presence because he's the fullness of joy. You'll never leave God's presence empty because he satisfies your mouth with good things. Hallelujah. You need healing? What's Christ's thoughts on healing? What would Christ say to sickness? What would Christ do about sickness? How would he talk about sickness? He doesn't welcome it as a friend. He deals with it. He commands it to be whole. He commands it to work. He commands it to do what it can't do because he said it, it can do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And see, the beauty about being Christ is you never have to leave. Because when you're in Christ, you take him with you wherever you go. You can call upon him whenever you need. That's the beauty. Because Christ is on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for your presence tonight. We honor and bless you. Lord, you just continue to be so good and so rich to us. We're so grateful. Thank you for giving us the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We trust in Him. We will never be ashamed. We will never draw back. But we will go forth in faith and do great things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, are you glad you came tonight? I'm glad you came too tonight. Amen. God is good. So we're going to continue to look about the best place to be on Wednesday nights. And don't forget the 24th. Orlando LaRosa is going to come. And great opportunity to invite some people. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night.